for more about what oil prices are doing to America's bottom line and whether there's any relief in sight, we're joined by Phil Flynn, a leading energy market analyst and head of Alliron Energy's futures brokerage division. Also with us, Julianne Malveau, economist, author, and commentator, and frequent visitor and guest with us here on the program. I thank you both for joining us. Phil, let me start with you. I was talking with some people just yesterday, and one of the things that was interesting is people said, where did this come from? Many people saw gas creeping up, then it went down, creeping up, and then it went down, and then all of a sudden it seemed like it dropped like a brick.
It really did. I mean, and I think what really came here was incredibly strong demand growth that we've seen all summer, and it caught a lot of people by surprise. Earlier in the year, in April, a lot of people thought that demand would slow down, the gas prices had hit a level where people would finally park the car, and guess what happened? They were wrong. Demand went up. In fact, I thought that interview you just had on tape with that gentleman with the business was very telling. Your reporter asked him, what would you do to change these higher gas prices? And he said, well, I may take a second job or I may do more advertising. The one thing he didn't say is that he would park his car, you know? And that's kind of the amazing thing. We're in an economic period where the growth has been very strong, and the consumers have continued to consume more gasoline despite the fact we're at record high prices.
Now, we have seen over the course of our history gas lines. I can think back to when I was a kid in the 70s, particularly it hit Detroit hard when we saw the record spike. But I'm curious, we've seen a 30% increase in the last year, Phil. Have we, with all cost adjustments made, seen anything like this before? Is this so atypical?
Well, actually, it isn't. I think what we've seen dramatic price rises in the 70s because of the oil embargoes. We saw it during the Iran-Iraq war. We saw it, of course, during the last Iraq war. But what makes this rise in price different than ones that we have seen in the past, the major reason why prices are rising is because the economy has been strong in demand. In the past, it's been a geopolitical event. It's been some other issue. But obviously this time, this price spike is unlike many others because it's really coming because the world's been caught by surprise how strong demand could grow. You mentioned gas lines. You know, this time, of course, obviously we're not having gas lines. But with what Hawaii's proposing as far as price caps, Hawaii may be the first first state to see gas lines if they go ahead with those price caps.
Yeah, we should suggest that they have talked about ceiling on wholesale gas pricing. Julianne Malveau, what Americans don't often do is do the connect the dots when we talk about prices and one thing to another. If we continue to see these prices go up, and we already have seen it to some degree, Reggie says he's trying not to do it, but businesses will pass the cost of transferring and transporting their goods on to customers.
They've already done it, Ed. I take issue with some of what Phil has said. I think that, by and large, he's made the right points, but some people have begun to park their cars. You have people who are talking about taking the bus more, and you have school buses talking about taking fewer students now because of the rise in gas prices. One jurisdiction that I was looking at in Arkansas said that, as opposed to a certain number of field trips, they were going to limit the field trips they will be taking this year based on gas prices to one per grade per year. So we're seeing it trickle. The airlines have already begun to do fuel surcharges, and as we all know, the airline industry has not been the most stable in the world. Federal Express and some of the other delivery organizations have begun to tack on a fuel surcharge. So while people who aren't feeling the pinch very much, and it is a pinch, talking to my trainer this morning, he said that it cost him $10 more to fill up his tank. And so, you know, restricting. So those people who are on a budget, and let's not forget that while our economy has been relatively strong, almost half of all Americans are in tight times and on budgets, and we still have unemployment rates, especially among African Americans, that are significant. So you do see people parking their cars. And in the long run, Americans are addicted to their gasoline, to their automobiles. And this is an addiction that we may have to go cold turkey on if we can't figure out a way to deal with alternate fuel sources. We see more development now of diesel, of ethanol, any number of other things, so we're aware, but it's not an emergency. And unfortunately, and Americans respond only to emergencies.
Julianne, you bring up an interesting point, and I want to make sure that we echo it once again. This is going to hit the African-American community first and hardest.
Absolutely, Ed. You know, you're talking unemployment rates. There was a big piece of the Post about a man who lost his job, and he's now parked his car because he can't afford to pick it up to go look for work. Now, that's just an isolated incident. Those people who are doing okay, you know, $5 or $6 more dollars at the pump is not a big thing. But if you're budgeting, it is. One of the things that I think is important, Ed, to point out is that gas prices have pretty much, if we look at the 70s, you talked about the 70s and those long gas lines, and some of us remember those, stood in them. But over the past 15 years, gas prices have really fluctuated in a pretty narrow inflation-adjusted range. So we're paying less than we were paying in the 70s if we look at the inflation adjustment. We have more subsidies for gasoline in the United States than the rest of the world does, which has been why some of our use has been so irresponsible. But we also have a huge reserve, 676 million barrels, a strategic reserve. And if we want to cut, in a year we've seen a 39% increase in average pump prices, if we want to cut those, government could release a few of those reserves basically to shock OPEC. Basically, to not fight back, but to shock OPEC and say, remember, y'all, we do have a little gas here, so we don't necessarily have to depend on you.
Mm-hmm. Phil Flynn, how realistic is it to see those reserves released? And secondly, one of the things that I found most interesting is our producers talked with you before air, and you've been pretty good with these predictions. I think a number of people are banking on this being the spike for the summer, and we're going to see a substantial drop in prices at the gas station. In your mind, we're probably not going to see that.
Not as big as a lot of people expect, because the bottom line is that oil prices are going to continue to stay strong, not just because of demand here in the United States, but what's going on in China and India. You know, we're not the only game in town anymore. Countries like China and India, which are basically going through an industrial revolution, they're developing a middle class, and their people in those countries are finding out they want a lot of the same things that we have here in the United States, you know, like cars and television sets and things that demand a lot of energy. And that demand growth is not going to go away. In fact, what can happen very realistically, for the first time in the history of the world oil market, in the fourth quarter of this year, we could actually consume more oil than we're actually able to produce in a day. And when that happens, I think, like Julianne pointed out, I mean, we're going to see a wake-up call in this country as well around the globe. But I do think when we talk about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the shock OPEC, OPEC is beyond shock right now. In fact, the reason why OPEC is shocked is that they have no ability right now to stop this rise in price. Even if OPEC wanted to right now, they can't do it. OPEC is very good at stopping prices from falling, but with worldwide demand outstripping supply, they're powerless to stop it from rising. So to think that, you know, at this point in the game, releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve would have a major impact on price, it really would not. In fact, it could have the exact opposite effect. It could have a short-term break in the market and actually cause prices to go higher. Let me put it to you this way. OPEC
Real
is sitting on a tremendous amount of oil, and they can't stop the price from going down. Our meager amount in the SPR won't stop it.
All right. Phil Flynn of Alleron Energies and Julianne Malveaux, economist and commentator. I thank you both for joining us today. Very interesting to hear what you had to say.
Thanks,
Ed.